you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday, March 31st, 2017. Still, I repeat, still standing in awe of the many wonderful ways that God reveals himself.
We'd like to welcome you to show number 153, still standing in awe.
If you're tuned in on Wednesday, or for that matter on the Monday or Tuesday edition.
What's that song? Isn't there a song like that? I'm still standing better than I ever did. I think there's a song.
Because Christian? I know on Tuesday I closed out the program Standing in Awe by the Franklins, but can you pull up something that fast on your cell phone?
Can I pull up something?
Now the technology, you know, you Google everything. Somebody was asking, how did you get those neat... Oh, is this the song? Oh, this is waking people up. Oh, it's vaguely familiar. Oh, I'm trying to think. What group is this?
I don't. This is from some animated film.
Oh.
Oh, here you go. No. Oh, no. This is one where they have to do two verses before they do a chorus.
It sounds like something the Partridge Family
I
would
don't
do.
Know. Oh, here you go. Here you go.
Oh, it sounds like a movie soundtrack, too, for something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait. I'm still standing in awe.
Oh, jeez. Oh, well, how do we start and launch into our program today? I know in a few weeks we're going to launch into the book of Exodus. I think sometime after Easter we're talking about
that. We're going to start it in our church right after Easter. That's going to be the book out of Easter to go into. We're at the point where we usually alternate a church between New Testament, Old Testament, New Testament, Old Testament.
Wait, alternate a church?
No, we alternate the books we're teaching in the church.
Okay.
We alternate a church. No. Yeah. But we alternate, so we go to the Old Testament, because I really think that people largely don't get into the Old Testament enough. And so we're going to go into the book of Exodus, and we're going to go through it. And in case anybody doesn't know that, the book of Exodus actually has more than just the Ten Commandments and Moses kind of going down the river in the basket. There's a whole lot more that happens in there in the burning bush, of course. Those things that we all know from the flannel graph. But there's a bit more that's happening there. And so I'm excited to get in there and teach that. And
that's going
to
be around April 23rd?
Yeah, April 23rd until dun-dun-dun, whenever.
And so probably late April or the beginning of May, we'll start on Fridays going through also the book of Exodus.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, just snapshots, though, really, because, I mean, you know, I what, 22 minutes we have for a program here, but, at, you know, there it's the sermon is at least 35 minutes or 37 minutes.
47. Yeah. Hey, I was thinking, how many years do we take through the book of Acts?
Somebody told me recently because they were saying they couldn't believe how slow we went.
Yeah.
And so I think it was pretty slow. I think we ended up, oh gosh, I don't know, 100. I know at one point you're like, you had to Google how to do the Roman numerals for that high of a number.
Beyond 100, and it was like 100 and, 17, so, you know. Beyond the X's.
But in the Roman numerals, though, that probably looked pretty epic, didn't it? It was like, you know.
Yeah, because there was the L, because the 100, I forget, there was X's and L's and, you know, the V's and that ones or however you look at it. Yeah, Roman numerals.
The X's and the L's and the V's.
I had to look them up each time. And it was like, okay, I know how to add the 1 before the V, you know, so it's 4 after the V, you know, 6, 7, and 8, but... You know, got tricky.
See how the Lord was teaching you?
Always teaching
me. It was so good,
Well, he's teaching me about how to pray hard and see how we will raise up some additional conversational English class teachers. We begin on Monday, and it looks like we have about 10 or 12 instructors. I think we could use about 15, but we have close to 50 students signed up, anticipating being instructed for about an hour from 10:30 to 11:30 on Monday and Thursdays. And so we can't wait to see how God's going to bridge that gap as we would teach and facilitate, yet share some of our American culture and teach them English, and yet my heart of hearts and hope is that it'll go beyond just instruction or just helping them increase their vocabulary,
sure.
but take an interest in. And this is a reoccurring thing that Holly has mentioned a number of times. They're all amazed. Why are you guys doing this? Mm-hmm. Why are you doing this? And that has afforded us the opportunity to share a little of our faith and our beliefs. And, you know, the Bible is filled with various comments, you know, about reaching the alien and mm-hmm. reaching out to the widow or those hurting or in need. Mm-hmm. And so we just see it as a mandate to welcome them to the Great News Radio Center and mm-hmm. train them and share our lives with them and have a lot of fun and yeah. build those relationships, invite them into our homes. And we'll see how the Lord will use that in the days ahead. Hopefully you will have some kind of neat reports. But as you often pray before our program, we may never see the direct mm-hmm. results. We may just be one of those people along a long list of individuals planting seeds, watering them.
Yeah.
And it might be 3, 5, 7 years, not till eternity that we learn that God became real to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, anyways, we're excited. That's being launched on Monday. And a week from tomorrow at 2 p.m., the Singing Men of GNN will be in the food court here mm-hmm. at Lincoln Square as part of the WCIA Channel 3 Home what's it called? Let's see. It's the Home Garden and Design Expo, that Design Expo. Mm. I think they're having close to 80 different booths set up or vendors here, and they'll have some entertainment. The Singing Men will be singing at 2 p.m. on Saturday. The actual expo is going on Saturday the 8th and then Sunday the 9th. The Singing Men, as mentioned, will be singing at 2 p.m. And thank you, God, for Ron Daly and the Blossom Basket out of Urbana. I think they also have a champagne location, but they're going to be providing over 300 long-stem roses all set up and wrapped and nicely available for the Singing Men to give out after the concert. So if you come on Saturday, April 8th, to the food court here at Lincoln Square and hear the Singing Men present, I think we're going to do about a half hour, about 10 or 12 songs. We'll be singing a number of nice selections, God-honoring music. Afterwards, we'll be handing out long-stem roses. So one more reason to come on out, and we'll have the Great News Radio Center opened up so you can pick up a tote bag, a Tootsie Roll bank filled with Tootsie Rolls and some other literature, and you'll see we have a really nice table out front. In fact, a lot of people have picked up literature, our program guides and surveys and different radio ministry pamphlets, and I have some Unshackled booklets along with the Christian Business Directory where we're featured on the backside and some other great Easter materials. So that's right here at the Great News Radio Center at Lincoln Square. So come out anytime. Typically, we're open 10 to 5. But on Saturday, April 8th at 2 p.m., the Singing Men will be singing. And then they'll also have that expo going on that Saturday and Sunday of next week. So excited to meet a lot of the local people and people coming in for the expo. We'll have our doors open and just a welcoming atmosphere. And hopefully a lot of people learn about the station and then be blessed as a result of tuning in to great God-honoring programs. So yeah, it seems like there's a bunch of other things going on. I'm hoping to have Ron Daly and his wife Deb on the Monday or Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, trying to work that through. And there's some other interesting people I've met with this week that'll be future candidates for upcoming programs. So a lot of neat visits into the center this week. So thank you, God, for what he's doing here. And
yeah,
may he continue to do this many days, weeks, months, and years ahead.
You're still standing.
Standing in awe. Oh, you mentioned the other day about 1 John 4:20-21,
yeah.
But I see you're actually open to
1 John 4:20.
Oh, really?
Wow,
good timing. I'd written this from Wednesday.
Well, that's because you've mumbled it like four times as we were getting ready to go. And so I thought, let's go there just in case we might actually, the plane circles near it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of an interesting story. So my son, my son is in fifth grade, and normally our student ministry starts at sixth grade, the ones we do on Wednesday night at our church. But my son said, gosh, Dad, I really want to go. And so I talked to Jake, our student pastor, and I said, Jake, you know, Jacob's kind of an old soul. He's a little more mature than maybe your normal fifth grader. I mean, he'd really love to come. Could we try him out? Jake said, of course, I'd love to have him come, you know, but you know, if it doesn't work out, he just, you know, he's going to have to not, he's going to have to wait till sixth grade. No problem. And so I think he was probably going for about a month. And he came home after youth group one night, and I'm sitting on the couch and I'm reading, and he starts pacing in front of me. Mm. And so I know with my son, when he starts pacing in front of me, it means he wants to tell me something, but he doesn't want to bother me. But he doesn't realize that pacing in front of me is bothering me. Like, really? So finally I put the book down and I said, what is it that you need? And he said, Dad, oh my gosh, tonight Pastor Jake, he shared out of 1 John, and I just don't know what to do with it. And I said, well, you know, let's get the Bible. Let's open it up. Let's see. What did he do? He goes, Dad, Pastor Jake said that if I say I love God, but I hate somebody, that I'm a liar. And I said, whoa, whoa, you know, and he goes, and Dad, I hate some people. I really do. And I go, oh, my gosh. And so we had a good conversation about that. But 1 John, beginning in 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 20, says, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother.
And this is Jesus speaking.
No. This is, Jesus speaking to John.
Yeah.
This is inspired scripture, but. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. And so there's some imperatives in there. There's really a genuine corrective, because I think that we're real comfortable with language where we'll say, oh, I hate that guy. I mean, I even somebody I don't even know, you know, an actor or a musician, I hate that guy. You know, and what I'm really saying is I don't really like that music. It's not really my preference. It's not that. But we use this kind of strong word like hate. And the Bible says here that we're not called to hate anybody. In fact, if we hate anybody. Now, the word here is brother, which means a closer kind of association. And many would read this as brother in Christ, which I would say, yes, probably. How 1 Corinthians tells us, and I believe it's in chapter 6, that we're not to judge those outside the church. God will do that, but we're to judge those within the church, because those are our brothers and sisters. And so here I think that it's, you know, hey, if you've got a problem with a Christian brother and sister, you need to rectify that before you come before God and tell God how much you love him. And that's the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, if you come to the altar to give your gift, and you realize that you have something against your brother, leave your gift at the altar and go and reconcile with your brother first, and then come back and give your gift. And it's really interesting that I think in churches and I think in our Christian relationships, we have devalued the power of our unity. You know, we have so much, we put so much emphasis and so much currency on evangelism and proclamation and outreach and all of those kinds of things. And yet in John chapter 17, when Jesus is praying for his disciples in the high priestly prayer, what does he pray? He says, Lord, I pray that they would be one and that through them the world might believe.
And they may be one as we are one.
As we are one and that the world might believe. Mm-hmm. And so what Jesus is saying is that the unity of the believers is going to be a powerful testimony in itself. And so then in today's day and age, we wonder why we can't seem to reach the world when the church is largely known for its division.
Right.
We're known for what we're against, not for what we're for. We're known for how we can't get along, or how we, you know, instead of being known for how we are united, how we are one. I preached on this a number of weeks ago when we did our communion service. And one of the things that I used as an illustration is I took a Lego out of my pocket. And I said, I got this Lego piece, and I've been carrying it around with me. And I said, how many have played with Legos in the room, you know? And some people put their hands up, because it's a lot of adults, so, you know, nobody wants to admit they play with Legos. but if you have kids...
Or still play with Legos.
Yeah, or still play with Legos. And then I said, well, okay, well, how many of you have stepped on Legos? And then a lot more hands went up in the air. But I said, you know, I have one Lego piece here. And one Lego by itself is no fun. It's no fun at all. I said, now if you get a few more Legos, then all of a sudden you can start to build something. And Ephesians tells us, Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that we are being built up into this house with Christ Jesus at the cornerstone, as the cornerstone. And I took out a Lego set that my daughter happened to have, which is a house. And I said, now look at this. You get this set here, and look at this. There's 500 different pieces which you build up into this beautiful house. And I also said, look, it comes with an instruction booklet to tell you exactly how to build it up into this wonderful thing. I said, we've been given that instruction booklet. It's called the Bible, which tells us how we're to be built up. And it contains these difficult verses like, if you say you love God, but you hate your brother, then you're a liar. You know, it's just funny. Yeah, so after I preached that sermon, my son said to me, he says, Dad, you know what? I was thinking, if you say you love Legos, but you don't like he calls it the four banger. It's got four little pieces on the top. He says, if you say you love Legos, but you don't love the four bangers, you don't really love Legos. You're a liar. I go, well, sort of. That's not quite the, but I said, you got the message. And the message is that we cannot be in our proclamation which should feel inclusive, all of a sudden begin to subtly make exclusive claims. Gosh. Well, I love people like God loves people, except for this person or that person or this thing or that thing. And so I think as Christians we need to be known for our unity. And I think that we need to be, and isn't that where Satan constantly attacks us? I mean, as a pastor of a church, I'll tell you, you know, people getting along is probably the hardest thing, especially as they serve together, especially as they walk and try and glorify the Lord together. That's where Satan gets in there. He begins to, you know, so somebody coughs a certain way and another person goes, what did you mean by that? You know, and all of a sudden there's like subtle divisions that can happen because of our own kind of insecurities that we have and different kinds of things. And so I think that's why when God says in Matthew, where is it in Matthew, the greatest commandment? Matthew 22:37-40 was love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind, your muchness, and love your brother, what, as yourself. And so we all have to look to God and say, what does God say about me? And then love our brothers out of the strength of that. But see, I don't think we do that, Mark. I think that subtly we have a lot of problems because I know in my own heart, I have to repent a lot that I don't look at my brothers and sisters like God looks at them. You know, I mean, how many times do we think, oh, well, I know why he did that. I mean, we don't put them in the best possible light. We don't say, you know what, this has to possibly be a misunderstanding, some miscommunication. You know, I really need to go and figure this out with them real quick. Instead, we go, it's insinuation. It's, well, you know, they did that on purpose. And while I'm not talking to them, I mean, our natural reaction to any of those situations is everything that doesn't lead to reconciliation.
Where we want them to give us the benefit of the doubt,
exactly.
But we're the opposite when it comes to, you know, we pointed out, oh, they had motives to do it because of
exactly.
This.
Exactly. But the incredible thing is, and because I get to be on the cutting edge of quite a bit of reconciliation because that stuff happens and you got to get people into the room. And I, as a pastor, happen to be the guy who gets them into the room. When you get them into the room, all of a sudden you go, this thing is rife with misunderstandings. What you thought you saw isn't what really happened, and what you thought was said isn't really what was said. And all of a sudden, it's kind of like two people who just look at each other and go, gosh, how did we get it so wrong? And I think we get it so wrong because we didn't look to God. We didn't look to God. And we need to look to God to see people as God sees them, to love people as God loves them. But I think that then we have to be willing to say, I'm going to knock down all the walls in my heart because if I say I love God but I don't love everybody, then I'm a liar. And I don't want to be a liar, especially where God is concerned. So listen, that's absolutely challenging, right? Because that means I got to love Muslims as much as I love Christians, and I've got to love Hindus as much as I love Christians. I got to love everybody. I got to love this color and that color and this color and that color as much as I love everybody. And for some people, that can be very difficult. And so we need to be graceful in that with one another. But just this idea that, you know, gosh, because how many of us? I mean, if we just took a moment and we just thought about it. I guarantee you there's probably some point in the last week or 2 weeks or maybe even a month where you said, you know, I just hate that person. I just hate that person. And yet God is actively pursuing that person for their salvation.
Yeah.
God is actively chasing the person you hate the most. God is actively pursuing with all that he has to bring them to repentance and redemption and to reconcile their relationship with him And if he's doing that at such a great level, I should do that too. You should do that too. So maybe my challenge out of this, I guess, you know, time that we discuss this is, who have you said that about? And then how can you be now an agent of reconciliation? How can you say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to do the hardest thing ever. I'm going to leave the gift at the altar, and I'm going to go find my brother, and I'm going to tell him, you know what, I don't always like what you do. I don't always agree with what you do, but I do love you. And then come back and give God that gift, because it was only in his strength and his power you were able to do what you just did.
Mm. Yeah, I was thinking with this politically charged time, depending on what party you represent or affiliate with, you may say you hate this or you hate that, or it could be a family member that bugs you or whatever. I mean, I'm sure we all could come up with somebody that comes to mind. And I think one of the things, too, is just, are we praying for those people? Yeah. Are we consciously saying, Lord, forgive me for the fact that you are pursuing that person, and maybe I'm the obstacle of them coming to know you because of my testimony or my witness or my lack thereof. And so as we think maybe the Lord would put somebody on your heart or the Spirit would bring somebody to mind, I think begin by praying. Maybe begin by confessing the sin, that the hatred or the anger that you have towards this person or people or party or whatever it is. And then just allow the Lord to maybe season your heart and bring conviction and hope. And, yeah, this is a powerful passage. This is one of these passages that if you read it at street value, as they say, is that how they say it?
You know what I call this passage?
What?
I call this passage a dozen passage. Because if I preach this passage, I'll get a dozen emails. This is a baker's dozen.
Well, we'll watch for our mail. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 550, Fisher, Illinois, 61843. Your words of encouragement are greatly appreciated. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day, night, and weekend. And see you at church on Sunday. My home.